The Perfect Being. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher, the Perfect Being. Who, what is the Perfect Being? Is the Perfect Being a human being? Is it a being like a rabbit, a bird, a fish, you know? What is the Perfect Being? Well, the Perfect Being does not exist. The Perfect Being is a concept. And as a concept, it does not and cannot exist. As a concept, it is every being. It is the original purity and integrity of every being, the Perfect Being. Now, you'd like to say for yourself, I'm the Perfect Being. You know, that's kind of a nice thing to say. Now, are you ready to say that about yourself? Oh, yes, I can say that about myself. I'm the Perfect Being. Well, if you're the Perfect Being, well, you certainly aren't the Perfect Being blowing your nose. I don't care about the cayenne pepper in your lemonade juice. Are you the Perfect Being, Ellen?
Yes.
The Perfect Being never makes excuses for anything. The Perfect Being always is in perfect operating condition, right?
That's right.
The Perfect Being always has beautiful thoughts in its awareness. The Perfect Being is the fulfillment of the ideal. Now, how many of you know anybody, anything, which is the ideal fulfillment of its reality? How many of you? Well, now, all of you, actually. You know me. Huh. No. No, all of you do, because everything you look at, everything you are aware of, is the ideal perfect being. Really. Everything. It's you and your stinking thinking and my stinking thinking, where I think it needs to be improved, there is where we take it away from its ideal being. Now, if I think something needs improvement, then it's not its ideal being. If I look at something and I just say, wow, that's great. Now, for instance, your little son. Ellen had a son one time. Little son. I had a little son. And you had a little son. And you know young people. And so your little son comes in to you and says, Mom, I'm going out on a date tonight. Do I look okay? And you say, you look wonderful. And if you are smart, you don't say, let me wipe the speck of dust off your cheek. You don't say, let me straighten your tie. You don't say, your shoes are not polished. You don't find any fault. You look at that son going on his first date as ideal. You look at that son as perfect. Now, let his girlfriend find fault with him if she wishes. But she won't, because she's on her first date too. And if her mom, if her mom also looked at her and found no fault, what a lovely couple they would be. What a lovely couple they would be. They would be off doing their thing, having a great time, and just thinking the world was wonderful. Now, do you think he could see anything wrong with his girlfriend? Do you think she could see anything wrong with him if they really like each other, just plain like each other? If they really enjoy each other's company, if they just think, oh, that's my boyfriend, you know, that's my girlfriend. And it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Like Ellen's grandchildren, the boyfriend takes his girlfriend out and brings along his nephew, you know. I mean, you know, that really is the ideal arrangement. Because they're not doing anything unusual. They're merely enjoying each other's company. And if somebody else wants to come along, that's okay too. Hey, no big deal. No big deal. If they're holding hands, no big deal. The nephew would think that's natural. They're going to hold hands. They're going to do silly stuff, but because he's just a little younger, you know. But You see, that's so pure. It's so pure. It's such a pure relationship that you just don't see it. Because you have become jaded by the world. Your eyes have become clouded over by judgment. You look at everything and you judge it instead of just saying, wow, isn't that neat? You know? And you say, oh, he's got a smudge on his toe. You know, you got to get that off. For who? You? Are you the inspector general? You know? Are you the one who's looking at him for problems, for difficulties? You see, when we clean our own act up and recognize that we are divine, and recognize that whatever we see is what we are, and whatever we see is what we have created in our consciousness in the world around us. Now, what do you want to create in your consciousness in the world about you? What do you want to create? 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 You know what Rex creates? He creates laying down and sleeping until he has something that comes to his attention and says, hey, Rex, look over here. You know, and he's awake and alert, enthusiastic about life, and checking it out. And then, as soon as he's done checking it out, when it no longer moves, then he goes back and lays down and forgets it. He's not interested in killing something or helping something or doing something. He's just interested in playing. And if there's something to play with, he'll play with it. If there's something moving out there, he will go and check what it is. Well, that's the way you are. If you see an imperfection in life, then you're going to check it out. Whereas if your eyes were so pure that you look out there and all you see is beauty and goodness. Now, look at the vines here of the grape plant. You know, aren't they gorgeous? Look at them. Oh, but they're growing up into the roof there. They're growing into the beams in the ceiling. Oh, they're growing out there. Oh, they're hanging here and they're hanging. Oh, my goodness sakes. You do have a problem. Here, God Almighty stands before you and you're saying his slips are showing, you know. You know? Or something silly like that. I mean, what else can you say? You can't say his underwear is showing, you know. My goodness. And isn't that something? I was thinking, because I like to go around naked, you know, I was going around naked, but I'm an ideal person. And people come up to me, and they see me that way. And they say, you're naked, you know. And I said, yeah, you know. And then they want to put some clothes on me, but they can't touch me because I'm untouchable. Because I'm untouchable for their physical touching. And then they want to, I go on a stage and talk to a group of people. And they say, what is this here now? But after 2 seconds, they don't even see that. They hear my charisma and my voice, and they don't even see me. They don't even see me. And then I'm walking down the street, and I'm naked, and people see me. And then after a bit, they don't see me. But they don't really see me. Now, I told you the story about the kid at Stanford University, I believe it was, up in Northern California. He went to class for, was it 3 or 4 weeks, naked, every day, naked. Just carrying his books and stuff, sitting with the other student. Not one comment was made about it. Not one teacher saw him. Not one. Amazing. And then someone saw him. And they turned him into the dean. And so the dean called him and said, you know, you got to wear clothes in school. He says, it doesn't say that in any of the records, in any of the books. And the dean says, well, we'll say it now. We'll get it written in there. But you see, no one saw him. Now, why didn't anyone see him? Because he didn't see himself. He was just being natural, and very natural. But he was so harmonious with himself, everyone saw him exactly like he saw himself. He saw himself properly dressed in his nakedness. He saw him that way, and that's the way everyone saw him. Now, can you have that naivete, that beautiful innocence about you, to see yourself as an ideal being? Can you see yourself as whole and complete? Can you stand before your beloved and look into their eyes and see only goodness? Or do you see the cataracts and you see the glasses and you see the pimples on their face and you see this and that? What is it? You see, when you're so beautiful inside yourself, when you are so naive, when you are so innocent in yourself, that you just believe and live who you are, the world sees you exactly like you see yourself. And if you run to the mirror to check your face and you get your lipstick on straight or whatever, that world's going to check you out too. But if you have just the farm girl complexion, so to speak, with no makeup or anything like that, nobody will even notice it. They'll say, there's something special about you. There's something really special about you. And they won't know why. They won't know why, because it's you natural, you know. It's your natural self. And this is the beauty of who we are. This is the beauty of who we really know we are. Can you do that? Can you be your ideal self? You can only be your ideal self if you are your ideal self. And if you're your ideal self, then you look out of your ideal self and you see ideal selves. You look at this beautiful grape arbor here with all these grapes hanging there, and it's glorious. It's beautiful. It's rather dramatic. It's a beautiful artistic thing. Some artist come along and paint that, and he'd win a Pulitzer Prize, you know, because he's done such a marvelous thing. He's created the perfect work of art. Well, now, anything is perfect. The fence there, and the bushes behind it, and the mountains behind it, and all the rocks, each rock placed in place by its divine nature. Each rock standing where it stands because it's a divine nature. You don't look and say, oh, that's a bad rock, it's standing in the wrong place. You may want to say that. You may look at some place in the desert where the rocks are hanging on the edge of the rock, and they've been that way for years, and you say, my goodness, I wouldn't want to walk underneath it. Well, you better not. If you fear it, it'll come down on you. But if you don't fear it, if you just see it as something beautiful, something natural, see, it's natural the rock is there, and it's natural the rock would be somewhere else too. Wherever the rock is, it's natural. Now, you, can you be natural wherever you are? Can you look with the eyes of absolute purity? And the answer is yes, if you want to. But it means one thing. It means you having your attention in your own life alone, and nothing else. Everything you see outside of yourself is a reflection of who you are within yourself, and it's good, because you wouldn't create anything that wasn't good. Everything you see, however the chairs are, however the shower head falls off, you know, it's all natural. You know, I looked up at it and I thought, isn't that interesting? And I thought, I wonder how I'm going to turn the water off. And then I said to myself, at the faucet. You turn it off at the faucet, and then it doesn't run out the head where it's not, you know. And sure enough, that's the way it worked. But, you see, I was so concentrating on the shower head itself and the pipe coming out of the wall, I wasn't concentrating on the idea of the bigger picture of how the water got there. And I thought, well, I can go out to the well and shut that off, and I can do that. Turn off the faucet. Just turn off the faucet, you know, and then the water will stop coming out of there. And, of course, I could have let the water come out and continued my shower, because it would have squirted right out on there on me, you know, and just showered me off nicely. But I rinsed a good little bit and got out of there. But, you see, perfection. Now, as I was walking around my meditation path this morning, I thought, well, now, how does a plumber take the broken-off pipe out of a inner pipe? And I thought, well, he just goes on the inner pipe and takes off the inner piece and takes it and throws it away and puts a new one in and goes for it, you know. The amount of time he'd spend on trying to take it out and having an imperfect fixture is not worth the amount of time it takes just to put a new one in, you know, a new piece of pipe, 34 cents. And so you put it in, but then you got to get inside the wall. Then I was looking at it, and Nita came along. She said, oh, she said, isn't that nice? It's right on the other side of the wall there is where the closet is, and it's probably very easy to get to. So, you see, what does Anita think? No problem. She loves it. She says, I love to be needed. I love it. I love it. I love these little projects. That's what you said?
Of course.
That's what she said? She said, no, of course. That means she didn't say it. But she said, I love these little projects. But
yes, I said that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because she just loves little projects. And she'll do anything she can do to be in my house. And work on things for me. And that goes for the rest of you. You like to vacuum my floors and you like to do these things. And I don't even see the dirt there. I don't even see it. The moment I see a spot on the floor, I go get the spot remover and squirt it and rub it with my fingernails. And then 2 seconds later, it's all gone. And I go about my life. You know, no big deal. But, oh dear, look at this spot, look at that spot. Get it when it's fresh. Out she goes. And no thought about it, you know. You did it, so you should do it. No. It's there, and you see it, so you should do it. And if you don't see it, then you, of course, can't do it because you don't know it's there. But isn't that interesting? Whatever we see, that's our responsibility, to enjoy it or to remove it. Oh, yes, life is wonderful, and we are so good. We are so beautiful. And when the absolute philosopher does anything, he does it because of the joy in his heart. I've gotten a lot of nice responses from people who are receiving the pictures that I'm sending out with my Mac, MacBook, you know, my Apple. And now I'm going to go through the pictures and put labels underneath them and, you know, name them as best I can. And then I'll send them out again. And then I'll go through it once again, and I'll select the pictures that I think represent what I want to represent. And then it'll be a nice little album, and I'll send that out again. And so it's just a slip, and if people want to bring it up, they can bring it up. If they don't want to bring it up, they don't have to bring it up. And people want to be on my mailing list, then they're going to play games with me. And they're going to be with me while I'm learning new experiences, and while I'm having fun, and while I'm seeing everything in its ideal form. And I am just having fun. I don't have to make excuses to anybody. And you know what? Everybody is writing me back little notes. Everybody. Many people have written back little notes saying, gee, that's cool. Gee, that's neat. Oh, those pictures are great. Oh, I like the one of you. I like this here. I like that. And, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, you know. And people who had their pictures taken and never got to see them because it's sort of a difficult thing to send them now have it if they have a computer. And if they don't have a computer, well, then I don't even know them. But anyhow, I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.